Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Last week, I began my sermon describing the adventures of my morning walks, and in particular, the unfolding landscaping design in front of a neighborhood house. The grass and the odd bushes had been removed, leaving a flat dirt canvas. On that dirt, rocks were placed. And the largest rock had reminded me of the pronouncement of Jesus to his follower, Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus chose a hard-working fisherman who sometimes spoke without thinking. And that person became a rock for others. So Peter, after this heady promotion, was probably acting large, proud of the great honor. Today's gospel follows last Sunday's passage, and it seems Peter has already begun to exercise his new authority, even over Jesus. And he pulls Jesus aside. Peter has had a knee-jerk reaction to a prophetic announcement from Jesus. Peter totally disagrees with what Jesus has foretold and has big ideas for the new Messiah. But Jesus knows his mission. His radical love will lead to suffering and death. No way, thinks Peter. Don't frighten us with this talk of suffering. And it became even more unsettling when Jesus says to all the disciples then and now, "If any want to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" We do not need to look far to observe this in action. Every day, since Hurricane Harvey began pouring torrential rain on the coast of southeastern Texas, heroes have emerged with or without badges or titles. People have died trying to rescue other people from the flooding. A dramatic message is playing out right before us. This is what the gospel can look like: to deny oneself and take up their cross. Their cross can be from natural disasters or the cross of injustice. In parts of the world every day, the gospel is a life or death matter. And God, in every moment suffering with us, God's presence, our strength. In our nation, this historic flooding has called forth heroic responses indeed. Rescuers have focused on saving others over regard for their own safety, willing to lose their lives even as they seek to find life. Only 1 in 5 citizens in that region had flood insurance. But neighbors and strangers of all ages have begun helping to rebuild. A group of Muslim teens responded in a neighborhood where water had receded, removing stinky, wet drywall. You can assume the homeowners and the teens did not ask for any religious identification. Instead, hands of healing help joined together. At the heart of today's readings is the call of selflessness. Be not self-centered. Be aware of the needs of others and respond. Lose your life, and in so doing, you will find it. The Gospels and letters of Paul describe the call to be one family in God. And one family means what is happening in Texas is happening to us. Hurricane Harvey was an equal opportunity destroyer, whether rich or poor. Hurricane Harvey was a cataclysmic force in nature. God was not the cause, nor the destroyer or avenger. God is an equal opportunity lover and invites us to do the same. It takes effort to make a decision to put aside one's ego, skill set, or feelings to join in and unselfishly serve others. It requires a denial of self-will, projections, judgments, prejudices. It requires a choice. A book entitled A Smile As Big As the Moon tells the story of special education students, kids with learning disabilities, physical and emotional problems. It's the story of their dream to go to the NASA space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. That might not seem like a big deal, but space camp is designed for gifted and talented kids, not kids who find school difficult. It wasn't easy to get the camp to accept these kids. Nobody expected that they would do well. So their teachers spent an entire year preparing for this 1 week, and they were hopeful. As it turned out, the special ed kids did very well and came away with many awards. The reason was that working for a year toward a common goal, they stopped fighting each other and started helping each other. They learned to stop focusing on self and to start focusing on the task and each other. And they did great. Competing against the brightest and the best, the special ed kids walked away with more awards than anyone. And the biggest surprise was the Right Stuff Award. Most awards are presented to teams, but the Right Stuff Award is presented to an individual, to the student who best displays the characteristics of a true astronaut, to the kid who demonstrates the best leadership. They awarded the Right Stuff Award to Scott Gowdy, who, in the words of his teacher, just 1 year earlier, had found his greatest pleasure in picking at the wounds of his classmates. But during the year of preparation, Scott had learned to care about the other kids, and he had become a leader. When Scott received the Right Stuff Award, the first thing that he did was to get a pair of scissors. Then quietly off to the side, Scott cut the Right Stuff ribbon into 20 pieces. At their victory party, Scott gave a piece of the ribbon to every kid on his team. Scott's teachers were stunned, but then they realized how much Scott had grown during their year of preparation and during that week of camp. They also realized that the people at the camp, observing from the background, saw what was happening and rewarded Scott for his good work, for his selfless service, for his caring leadership. For the NASA Space Camp leaders, genius IQs are nothing new to them. But what they were looking for was a kid who was willing to make sacrifices on behalf of the team. And Scott did that, and the people at the camp noticed. The promise of our gospel lesson is that God notices too. God doesn't really care about genius or wealth. God cares about selflessness. God cares about love. God cares about service to others. And a decision for genuine care and love will guide us, which is the beginning of today's second reading from Romans. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. The entire passage from Romans describes the right stuff demanded of the followers of Jesus. Yet that second phrase, hate what is evil, has also been abused as we witnessed in the fallout from the marches in Charlottesville, Virginia, a few weeks ago. Right after that event, a friend of mine posted on Facebook, 50 groups Jesus said we could hate. What? I said, really? So I went to the link and saw numbering 1 through 50. After each number, it was blank. There were zero groups. There is no one and no group that you get to hate. Hate the sin, not the sinner. We sinners are asked to use the power of reconciling love to heal. To quote from Romans, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. God's message: deny your knee-jerk reaction selves, your knee-jerk judgments, and heal, not hurt, one another. Even though human nature is always tempted to seek revenge, let us set aside any obstacle, any behavior, any pattern of thinking that inhibits us from hearing the voice of God, which calls us to lay down our lives in order to find them. We do need to stop talking if we want to hear God talking. Believing in God's power will enable us to believe we can do more than we thought we could, and in doing so, we have begun to heal the world. This is a prayer for peace from John Philip Newell. May our enemy become our friend, that we may share earth's goodness, that our children may meet and marry, that we may remember our shared birth in you, O God. May we grow in grace. May we grow in gratitude. May we grow in wisdom, that our enemy may become our friend.